Hi there, and welcome to My Cape York Life, real life stories of the people who live on and care for Cape York Peninsula.
You get people that were dropped off trawlers in Princess Charlotte Bay, and then they just start walking, and you just find them in the middle of nowhere walking along in their underpants or something. You do see some funny things in the bush.
For a while there was a complete confusion of dust and helicopter and horses and bulls all mixed up in the middle.
Oh, it was beautiful. Fishing, out all day, hanging out with families and friends and getting together for big feastings and celebrations.
Excellent clean water, wide rivers, lots of mangroves, lush vegetation, beautiful sand.
I think so. Cape York's a bit like that. It gets in your blood.
Almost 15,000 people live on Cape York. They're spread over vast distances, many of them living in remote and isolated communities. But they're united in their love of the place and their desire to make a living and keep those communities viable well into the future. We'll hear from people looking for the balance between industry and environment, between remoteness and being connected. If you live here, you've visited, or you dream of coming up for a look, My Cape York Life is for you. This time, we're in southern Cape York, a bit south of Cooktown and not far north of the Daintree. This is Woodjawoodjawoodjaw, where the rainforest really does meet the Coral Sea. It's a small indigenous community on the banks of the beautiful Bloomfield River, and it's home to just under 500 people. It's administered by the Woodjawoodjawoodjaw Aboriginal Shire Council. This is one of Australia's smallest local government areas, and the long-serving mayor, Desmond Taylor, was one of Australia's youngest local government leaders when he was first elected back in 1998. And like so many people on Cape York, Desmond has more than one job. He's the mayor. He's one of the original directors of the Cape York NRM board, and he sits on quite a few local and regional committees and organisations. I'm sitting here with Desmond on the veranda of the Woodjawoodjawoodjaw Council offices, looking out over the beautiful Bloomfield River and having a yarn about the joys and challenges of living in and running a small Cape York community.
We're here in Woodjawoodjawoodjaw, which is 3 hours north of Cairns, 1 hour south of Cooktown, and the lower part of Cape York, where the rainforest meets the sea. I basically grew up in this area, and I lived here all my life, and you know, a lot of my time was spent here in this community. Probably went to school at the Bloomfield River State School. Spent a lot of my childhood in the area. My working life started here with the council way back in the 90s. Over the years, I've done a bit of work outside of community as well. I worked in Cairns and worked for Cape York Natural Resource Management, and now returned back home.
Des, could you tell us a little bit about like where we're sitting, what it looks like here, and we're sitting in the council, outside the back of the council office, is that right?
That's correct. We're at the back of the council building, right down near the river, and we've got a really good view of the river from here and close to the floodplain of this Bloomfield River, and the water comes right up near the back veranda, and in the wet season we do get a lot of rain here. We're in an area where it's pretty mountainous, a lot of rainforest hills, pretty beautiful place that we have here. I think we're quite lucky to live here. My family's traditional owner for this area as well. From my grandmother's side. Her mother is from the Googoo Yalanji clan. So that's my connection to the Woodjawoodjawoodjaw area.
And you have some family ties further north on Cape York as well?
That's correct. I have family connections up near Shipton's Flat. Also northwest towards Laura. That's my grandfather's country, my dad's father. So they're connected to Laura and the Lakefield area, and also the beautiful Quinkin Rock Art Gallery. That's my father's side of the country.
It's a pretty amazing part of the world that you come from.
Oh yeah, I consider myself lucky, I guess. And you know, we got best of both worlds. You know, we got, you know, the reef and the rainforest here. Then you go further north to Laura. It's the outback, and you know, it's heading towards the top of Cape York, and, you know, I think you couldn't ask for any more. again, it's probably one of the most popular places within the region, the Laura and the Bloomfield.
Yeah, it's certainly very stunning, isn't it? I remember a year or two ago you took me for a drive up the back of one of the hills here up, and there was an amazing view.
Yeah, I think when a lot of people come through here, and you know, I take up a lot of visitors up to that area, and I remember taking yourself up there and others, and I think it was one early morning and we watched the sunrise come up, and very spectacular view from up there. You know, you could look right down the valley and you could see the Bloomfield River, and also look out towards the ocean. You could see Hope Island, Cairns Reef, and you know, all the reef south of it. So we're in a beautiful location here, southeast part of Cape York. It's probably the first community as you head north towards Cape York.
You've spent a lot of time here throughout your life. What was it like when you were young, when you first were coming up here, and what kinds of things did you do as a kid around here?
I think growing up in the community here, we had a lot of things to do, keeping us occupied. We went swimming, we went fishing, hunting and gathering. You know, we did things like going up the top of the hill, getting on boards and slide down the hill, you know, on the grass. That was our entertainment. We played with marbles. Other than that, we went fishing, you know. So, no, it was very good. And sometimes we got on horseback and did a bit of horse riding. You know, if we done all the other stuff, that got too boring. We went looking for horses.
What did you catch? What fish did you catch?
We catch a lot of barramundi, mangrove jack. I could remember going out fishing at night with the elders. They taught us how to do night spearing using lights. We came back with barracudas. They were about 1.5 meters long, and the old man, a lot of the elders taught us how to use spears and that. So that was some of the stuff that we done when we was growing up. And unfortunately, a lot of the kids nowadays, they don't get into that sort of stuff. Again, we've got to try and bring that back and reintroduce culture to some of the younger generations coming through.
So your country is up the mountain a little bit as well, and a property called Dawnvale. Can you tell us a little bit about that, and when you got that land back? Because, I mean, you haven't had that back for a long, you know, there was a long, long period of time when it wasn't in your family's hands. So
yes.
When did you get that back?
You know, we got the property back in 2000, and leading up to that handover, we done a lot of a handover process where we worked together with the ILC, and they done a good audit report type project, and they handed back the property with water, housing, make sure everything was in order, governance, all that sort of stuff. But we had the land hand back in 2000, and before that we had some local people, they previously owned it, and they worked very closely with our family. And again, that part of the country belongs to my grandfather on my mum's side, and they have connections through Dawnvale right back around to Shipton's Flat. So that's how we have connection to that country up there. we currently run a few head of cattle up there, and that's our only income at the moment. So in the future, we want to look at, you know, ecotourism, cultural tour guides, and also still have cattle running up there to provide that income. So at the moment, we're trying to bring that on board and try and make the property a bit more viable in terms of employment.
They'd been running cattle on that property for a little while before it was handed back. It was quite an important place for cattle, for Cape York, really, wasn't it?
Yes. Before we got it back, previous owners and managers, they ran cattle on there for a number of years, and that part of the country was an important stock route for Cape York. A lot of the cattle were brought down from Cape York through down Lakeland, through Springvale, then down to the Daintree, and and back up to Mareeba. It was an important stock route up there. So there was an area that still exists up there now, where they had a blacksmith. Every time the cattle drovers come through, they would pull in there and make sure, you know, their horses were shoed and all that sort of stuff. It's pretty rugged country through there, so it was important that they make sure that their horses were in pretty good nick coming through that country.
Woodjall itself is a community of... How many people live here?
The estimated population is around 480 people within the community. To the north of us, we've got the southern part of Cookshire and also Douglas Shire. And within the valley, there's about 1,000 people that consist of three shires within this area.
You're probably one of the youngest mayors that Queensland has ever seen, I would have imagined. You were quite young when you first became mayor, is that correct?
I've just previously returned to office. I didn't get in at the previous election, but before that I held office for 11 years. I was pretty young at the time, so started way back in 98. Pretty long stint I had back then.
And what made you want to become the mayor? What made you want to get into local government here?
I guess I wanted to see progress in the community, and I wanted to see our community grow and also look at a better life for our people here in Woodjall. And, you know, we look at education as very important. Health is another issue. We wanted to, you know, create employment, try and get the best possible outcome for the health for our people, and also put our kids through education as well so our community could be prosperous into the future. So that was my main motivation in, you know, running for council.
And what kinds of things have you seen change in that time?
I think we've seen a lot of changes through, you know, the time before me and during my time in office. We've seen a lot of changes in road. They've improved a fair bit. I could remember the days when all of our roads within the community were just dirt roads, so that in itself created health problems with dust. I could see a lot of the infrastructures improve. Housing has come a long way. A lot of our council buildings are improving now. You know, we look at the bridge, the Bloomfield River Bridge. About 10 years ago, you wouldn't have thought, you know, we had a bridge across there, but you look at it today, it's a bit more accessible, a bit more safer for people travelling through and even for locals. So there has been a lot of improvement over the years. You know, we got the police station, we got Queensland Health here. We've always had our school here. So, you know, we've seen a lot of improvement over the years. So that's in my time and, you know, previous councils before me. They had made a lot of contribution to the betterment of our community.
And obviously, you know, you're deeply connected to the country here as well, and you've got a bit of a passion for natural resource management in general also. You've been involved in the board of Cape York Natural Resource Management for a long time, I think, since the... Were you in the first steering committee?
My involvement with Cape York Natural Resources extends way back when they first started the organisation. And I think my involvement, you know, growing up on community and living here in Cape York, we've always had passion and we've always been told by our elders, you know, look after your country. If you look after your country, it'll look after you. You know, if we look at what council is doing, we look at how we do business on country, it is very important. I think if you take into account land management and conservation as part of your operation, it'll give you a better understanding on how you should do business on country. If we get those land management practices right, it'll be a bit more sustainable into the future in terms of whatever you're doing out on country, whether it's running cattle, you're doing agriculture, farming, all that sort of stuff. You need to take into account how do you better manage what you do on country. And it has to be viable and, most importantly, sustainable. And you have to work with country and understand it to make sure, again, I go back to the old saying, what the old people said, you have to make sure you look after the country. And that's important for our people here in Cape York, and in particular in Woodjawoodjawoodjaw. And people want to come see what we have here, so that's important. And, you know, tourism is another aspect here in Woodjawoodjaw and even Cape York. They come and see the natural beauty of our area.
You're listening to My Cape York Life, a podcast series brought to you by Cape York Natural Resource Management with the support of South Cape York Catchments and the Australian Government's National Landcare Program. You can find us on Cape York Land Manager and your favourite podcast apps. You can also follow Cape York NRM on Facebook and on Twitter. And you can see more about Woodjawoodjaw on the web. Search Woodjawoodjaw Aboriginal Shire Council. The community sits in beautiful rainforest country, and it would be easy to think of it as an idyllic paradise, the perfect place to live. But there are significant challenges for the community and for its leaders. Mayor Desmond Taylor.
The challenges that we have coming through is, you know, we do have a lot of traffic coming through, and that poses a lot of threat to the natural resource that we have here in the community. One is fire. You know, we talk about climate change and stuff like that. Fire is probably one of the bigger threat that we face here in Cape York and in Woodjawoodjaw. Over a number of years, we've had people coming through and just throw a match on country, and wildfires are created, and that's something that we have to be mindful around it. Again, it's better to have probably better management in terms of visitor coming through. So that's one of the threats. You know, we got the increase of global warming. That increased the threat in terms of flooding and inundation. Woodjawoodjaw Council is currently doing a project, Queensland Coastal Adaptation Plan. We're doing it with Woodjawoodjaw, Hopewell and Yarraba. So it's talking about the impacts of climate change. For us as a local government, say if we had big traffic coming through here, a superhighway, then we would have the increase of traffic flow. We would look at, you know, the problems that will come on our roads and infrastructure. There'd be more usage of water. There'd be more usage of power. People would want to use air condition a bit more because the temperatures are getting hotter. So that's some of the impacts that we got to look at. The other one is, you know, we've got an ageing population. We've got the old people. So we have to be very mindful in terms of how do we do our town planning around the community. So we have to look at buildings that would be sustainable for the environment here and in Cape York as well. So that's some of the challenges that we're looking at here and into the future.
So what are the things that keep you awake at night as mayor?
From a local government point of view, we do have our challenges. We're currently going through a land tenure resolution. A lot of our indigenous councils throughout Cape York, including Woodjawoodjaw, we're not a rate-based council. We're heavily reliant on government grants. So we're looking at the viability of our communities. Our thing is every year when the government do up their budget, will there be continuity of funding into the future? So that type of concern keeps me awake at night. And also providing good, sustainable service to our community. So if we don't get continuity of funding, that'll impact a lot of the service delivery that we provide here for the community.
And you yourself have got a young family here. Are they enjoying living and growing up in Woodjawoodjaw? And how is it different for your kids now than it was for you?
I do have a young family. I have a daughter. She's 5 now. And also have a son, so he's 4. My partner's from Victoria, so it's a big change for them. You know, we lived in Cairns previously for about 5 years, and now coming back home, I wanted to move back here so my kids could have the opportunity and enjoy what I had previously, and I think, you know, exposing them to our culture back here at home and making that connection back on country and even the connection with elders. So I want them to be able to learn what I've learnt and what I know right now, and that is very important to me and our community, you know. If we have more of our kids learning our culture, the better and stronger our identity will be. So that's very important.
It's a small town like anywhere else in Australia, really, isn't it? And you do have mobile phone coverage here, and you do have TV, and so your kids are exposed to everything else that a kid in Sydney could be exposed to in relation to internet and social media and all of those things. So kids in Woodjawjaw getting around on their iPhones and tablets and things like that?
I think we're responsible for, you know, putting in a tower. Again, it's a good and it could be bad in a way as well. But again, you know, I think the community has embraced the new technology. It does have its good and bad points. But, you know, we've seen the kids come through and learning the new technology. And it's very good to see the young kids teaching the older ones how to use, you know, the mobile phones, the tablets and stuff like that. So
teaching some of the old people?
I think, you know, I'll use myself as an example. You know, my kid is she's only 5 years old, and she does know how to use the mobile phone and how to do things in the phone. So if you got a little kid at five, just imagine if you had the older ones knowing that technology. There's a good side of it and there's a bad side of it as well. So, but it's good to see that, you know, kids are learning new way of doing business, you know, into the future. So it's a very useful tool.
So what are the things about this community which you think, what makes it special? What stands out for you about Woodjawjaw?
Woodjawjaw is so nice, you got to say it twice. It's where the rainforest meets the sea, so we're very unique, and it's all ideally situated, not far from Cairns and not far from Cooktown. So I think it separates us from all other communities here in Cape York. We do have a beautiful location here, so that's all I could say.
What are some of the changes that you've seen since in your times growing up here and coming and going, and what changes have you seen here?
I've seen a lot of changes. That goes from, you know, our culture. I remember going to school and listening to the elders. I guess I'm one of many kids that was very fortunate to, you know, see and understand how the elders done, you know, business out on country, and just to see that change in a big way. So I guess probably keeping our culture and language is very important. So there has been a lot of changes, you know, over the past decade. I mean, that's culture as one aspect, but when you look at the community itself, it has grown in a big way.
So you've been working across the Cape as well, so you've worked in your community here quite a lot, but you've also done some significant work across the Cape as well, and you've met lots of people, and everybody knows you. I don't think there's many people on Cape York who wouldn't know who Desmond Taylor was. What are some of the things that you've seen when you've been out and about talking with people, and particularly around things like climate change and the changes that other people have seen, or what they're worried about?
I guess one of the challenges that I've faced previously, and I think I was quite fortunate in my previous job working with Cape York Natural Resource Management at the time. I had the opportunity to travel Cape York. It gave me a better understanding in terms of life on Cape York and a lot of the things that, you know, a lot of the challenges that are thrown to people in Cape York, and I got a better understanding and a better appreciation on how things are working in Cape York. Some of the interesting things on my journey previously is talking to some of the elders and the wealth of knowledge they had to share and give to what I've, you know, worked with previously, and it was based around climate change and some of the changes that they've seen out on their country. So You know, I had the privilege of working with a lot of the rangers in Cape York. You know, you look at the Mapoon Rangers, the Napranum, the Lama Lama Rangers, Yukubadja, and, you know, our rangers here. So, you know, you go out there, you start talking to people. You know, these are the people that are the eyes and ears of our Cape communities, and they do a lot of work around land management and conservation. So there's a lot of people out there who's got the best interests of their communities when they're doing a lot of work out on country. And again, I think we take it for granted because we live amongst it, but you know, when you get non-Indigenous people coming into community, it's information there that's readily available that, you know, we could teach other people coming in about our culture and how to do land management practices better. And I think if they incorporate, you know, the knowledge of Indigenous people, I think we can learn from both worlds, Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. You know, we're willing to share our culture. So, you know, I think if we spend a bit more investment in terms of, you know, sitting down with our people in Cape York and recording a lot of this information, and again, you know, it's something that we need to look at very seriously. And, you know, I was quite honoured and privileged to work with people like that in Cape York. And, you know, I want to thank Cape York NRM for providing that opportunity, you know. And all that information is kept in a safe place right now. So I think we need to invest a bit more around that, and we can move forward into the future.
So that leads us to the future. It's you've talked about here as one of the challenges for a council like Wujawujaw being that you don't have a rates base. There's not income coming in to improve facilities and do services, and even for a lot of people on Cape York, it's really hard to make a living. We know we've got this amazing environment that we are responsible for. So what's the balance? What do you think the balance is between making sure that we can have a sustainable living here and keeping the place conserved for future generations?
I think if we put a bit more investment into our people, whether it's you know, land management or conservation, again, if we put a lot of investment into our schools and the betterment of our education, hopefully in the future that'll bring the next generation of land management and conservation people forward, and also into the local government sector. And if they focus on that side of it, then we could look at, you know, the investment from local government in terms of building on what we already have. You know, there's a lot of industries all over Cape York. Wujawujaw is very limited in that. We don't have mines, but we do have the local the environment that is important to our people here. So, you know, there's investment in terms of how do we invest in carbon credit initiatives. How do we look at the fishing industry? That could be another one we could look at, but it has to be sustainable. Probably work with other Cape York councils throughout Cape York on how do we come together as one and maybe look at providing a service to each other rather than having people come in and do the work for us. So, I mean, that could be one way we could look at moving forward sustainably.
Well, Mayor Desmond Taylor, thank you. It's, as always, been an absolute pleasure visiting your beautiful community and having a chat with you.
Thank you, Linda.
Desmond Taylor is the Mayor of Wujawujaw Aboriginal Shire Council. For more information about his community, search online for the council website. Next time on My Cape York Life, how does an ecologist from London end up running an organic farm near Cooktown?
My name's Wendy Seabrook. We're at Hilltop Farm, and it's just about 20 minutes outside Cooktown on the Endeavour Valley. It's about 24 acres of nice red chesnozoam soil. I've been here for nearly 10 years.
Wendy Seabrook, on sustainable food production and her remarkable journey from London to Cape York.
You know, people come up to Cooktown on their way to Cape York, or they come up to Cooktown to come and visit, and then they come up here and they realise, oh, I wish we'd stayed longer. You know, the landscapes are so beautiful and the history is so interesting. And it's a very diverse place. You know, there's lots of artistic people, fishing, farming, a great indigenous population as well. And one of the lovely things about Cooktown is the way that we're sort of increasingly working together, which I love.
My Cape York Life is brought to you by Cape York Natural Resource Management, with the support of South Cape York Catchments and the Australian Government's National Landcare Program. It's available from Cape York NRM's Land Manager site, or you can download it from your favourite podcast app. You can look for Cape York NRM on Facebook and Twitter, and please tell your friends about it. I'm Lyndall Scoble, and I'll see you next time on My Cape York Life.